Acts chapter number 17, starting in verse number 16. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God,' whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." This is the reading of the Word of God.
Thank you, Brother Chad. Wonderful reading. It is good to be here this morning. Now, many of you know, I've been pastoring most of you for a long time, that I'm not a jokester. I can't tell jokes. I can tell funny stories about myself, but every time I try to tell a joke, it flops. And a lot of preachers, that's how they loosen up the crowd. Well, I thought I'd loosen y'all up this morning. I want to show you something humorous and something glorious all in one package. Just kind of loosen it up.
Okay, go.
I barely keep up.
One more.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody ready to hit that football field before long?
Looking good. You're making her nervous. Oh, gosh. Good job.
That's kind of the power of the resurrection. I got a God can still move. I thought you'd be at least wanted to get a smile out of a couple of you. Amen. Now let's get to the serious part. Acts chapter number 17, what I'm going to do tonight, or this morning, I'm going to just take you down through the verses. I won't give you the title until the end. Then the title will take me about 5 minutes, and the sermon will take me 5 minutes. But I want to do an exposition of the Bible. How many like preaching line upon line and precept upon precept? That's how you preach. That's how you teach. Amen. So I want you to go look at me. Just get your Bible. If you're somewhere and you don't have a Bible, look off of somebody else's Bible and just follow me for a few moments. I'll give you the text in a moment. But look at verse number 16 as we start the passage of Scripture. Paul was at Mars Hill. He was at Athens. As many of you know, if you've ever been to Athens, Greece, it is the center of idolatry. Everywhere you went into that city, there was little gods for something. And when Paul saw that in verse number 16, the Bible said that he was stirred, that his spirit was stirred in him. That word stirred means burned with anger or exasperated or infuriated. I want you to know something, friend. Sin ought to still infuriate us. Ungodliness ought to still infuriate us. Wickedness ought to still infuriate us. We're living in a time of all morals. We're living in a time when everything goes. But I'm glad there's still a group of Holy Ghost Christians that love God, that still stirred when they see wickedness and know that there is hope in the gospel. Then secondly, in verse 17, I want you to notice the souls Paul tried to reach. Notice the Bible said in verse 17, 18, he disputed with them or discussed and reasoned with them. They were two groups that he named out by name. One of them was the Epicureans, who was founded by a man named Epicurus. That man taught that the supreme goal and existence of man was for enjoyment and pleasure. And he is the founder of what they call the party animals. Here's his philosophy: eat, drink, and be merry. How many believe that looks like a lot like America? And then there's another crowd called the Stoics. It was founded by a man named Zeno. He taught 48 years in this very place. He was 96 when he died. He taught 248 years before Christ. And here's what he taught: that man believed in self-mastery. He taught that he wanted man to get to a place where he feels nothing. Really, what he was the early robot and zombie. Y'all heard of the TV show The Walking Dead? Zeno was the founder of The Walking Dead. And he had a terrible philosophy, but they were challenging Paul. They even told Paul when he started preaching about the resurrection, "You're a babbler." I want to tell you, I started to preach on this morning. Let me babble on. because he's alive. Amen. Then thirdly, real quickly, the strangers, they were strangers to the gospel. They took him to the Areopagus. That's the highest court in the land. It was located on a hill called Mars Hill. Your pastor had the privilege in 1985 to walk up on to Mars Hill, look up to the Temple Diana, look around and see the Areopagus. And I was reminded of all the strangers of the gospel. This world is blinded by the God of this world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is strange unto them. But on Easter Sunday morning, can I tell you, it is still the gospel. It is still the hope. It is still the only way for men to be saved. Only way to find joy. Only way to find peace. Only way to find the love of God. Then verse 22 and 23, I see the shrewdness of Paul. How many like shrewd people? When he walked into that city, he saw all these idolaters. And by the way, there was a crowd there was very religious. Oh, yes, they were. Because they had all them gods to everything. But they wanted to have a blanket God. So they built an altar to the unknown God. And you know what Paul said to them? That's who I'm going to declare to you today. By the way, he's unknown to you if you've never been revealed. He's never been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. He's unknown to you if you've never received the gospel message. You're blinded to it this morning. But I'm praying as I preach this morning, your eyes will see, your heart will burn, and you'll want a relationship with God. Spurgeon said this. I thought it worthy to say it, he said, I believe a very large majority of churchgoers are merely unthinking, slumbering, worshiping an unknown God. Amen. Now I want you to know, number five, I'm heading somewhere and I'm almost done. I want to give you his sermon in verses 24 through 31. I want you to follow me. F. Bruce said this about this sermon. It is a masterpiece of communication. What it was doing, this sermon, was lifting up God and his deity. How do you, ladies and gentlemen, believe? The greatest need of our culture is somebody to lift up Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We once see Jesus. And his sermon was a masterpiece. Can I give it to you? Glory, I feel some preaching coming up. Can I preach it to you? Number one, he talked about the power of God. God that made the world and all things therein. You may have been taught when you was a kid in school, evolution. Ladies and gentlemen, you did not come from an amoeba. You did not come from a fish. It wasn't because of a big bang. It was because of an almighty creator. Somebody say amen. And you said, what is that? That's the power of God. And then I see the position of God. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Ladies and gentlemen, our culture is out of control. Our world is out of control. Our politicians have no answers. The religious clergy are inept. But I want all you to know today, there is one that's still high lifted up. The God of heaven that has the whole world in control. He has your life in control. He has my life in control. Ain't nothing happens that surprises him. He is in control this morning. Amen. Verse 24, 25. Stay with me. Are y'all still with me? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, and though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life. Talks about the person of God. God's not an idol. I don't have a little idol in my house to say that's God. He's not an idol. He's not a little stick. He's not a piece of stone. He is a living God, a breathing God, a wonderful God. Then I see the primacy of God. Verse 25, 26. Dear Lord, neither is he. Verse 25, 28. Excuse me. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Verse 28, and in him we live and move and have our being. I want you to know something. You can't move this morning without God. You can't. Hey, you're trying to live without God and it is futile. You'll never find happiness. You'll never find joy. You'll never find peace outside of God. I want you, somebody help me. He's preeminent this morning. Thank God. We're living this morning. We got breath in us this morning because of him. And when he's done with us, he'll take the breath out of us. Am I preaching? Then I see the plan of God. Look at verse 26. I'll go quick. Woo! And he had made of one blood all nations of men to dwell. That's creation of man. He made every one of you. And by the way, we're all the same blood. Came from Adam. Hey, I don't care if you're Asian, black, white, red, whatever. We're the same. Ain't no big I's and little U's. The white race is not supreme to the black race or the black race to the Asian race. We're all one blood because God made us one blood. Now I see the habitation of man. He dwells on the face of the earth. Hey, God put us down here for a purpose. Then I see the subordination of man. He determined the times and seasons. That means he's sovereign. How many believe he's sovereign? He's a sovereign, righteous, holy God that's in control this morning. Then I see the limitation. I'll tell you, we were bound of our habitation. See, the flesh doesn't want to be limited. We think we can just do what we want to do. But I want you to know something. I got a God that is pulling the strings. Somebody say amen. Am I still preaching? Took me a while to build this, so it might take me a few minutes to preach it. Verse 27, he preached to them the presence of God, that they should seek the Lord. If haply they may feel after him, and find him, though he not be afar off. I want to tell you what. The Bible said the word is nigh you. Even the word of faith that we preach. He's not far off. He may seem far off, but he's not far off. He's in this building this morning. He's moving on the hearts of God people this morning. He's right where you can get him this morning. You don't have to find a little pagan God. He's right there available. He's right there wanting to help you. He's right there wanting to bless you. He's an almighty God, a wonderful God, and he's there for you. Look at verse 30. And I want you to notice this precept. And this is the Bible, not just me. And the times of ignorance, God winked at. Now, oh, man, none of you have any reason to be ignorant of the gospel. Amen? Many of you here have heard it your whole life. But look what he says. Y'all with me? But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Look at me. You need to repent of your sins. Somebody said, that's not preached anymore, see? We preach this easy believism. This 1, 2, 3. It's more than 1, 2, 3. You got to see yourself lost. Anybody can go out there on the street, talk somebody into being saved, give them a little track, and 1, 2, 3 them. And it may work sometimes. And I'm for it. But ladies and gentlemen, deeper and bigger than that. It is a God that comes on conviction on people. And they have to come to a knowledge of truth and repentance. Anybody can be a manipulator. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to get saved, you got to get to a place of repentance. You got to know you're wicked. I've been guilty of 1, 2, 3 religion before. But all it leaves is shallowness and a church full of people who are really not saved. And God help us. It's more to it than 1, 2, 3. Gonna fall down on your face and say, I'm wicked. And I repent. And I'm trusting Jesus. And by the way, I'll give you some good advice. Don't go bragging about like you've got a notch on your belt of how many people you've led to Christ. It's bigger than that. I ain't never saved nobody. But all of them that has been saved through me has been because of him. We'll give you an illustration that wasn't in my sermon so I can get a breath. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, one time was out on the street and there was a man that was drunk there. And one man looked at him and said, there goes one of your converts. And Spurgeon looked at him and said, nah, he's not my convert. It's evident that he hadn't been touched by God. Somebody help me preach. And then verse 31, and I want all y'all to hear that because I'm winding it up. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by this man. What man? The man that rose from the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get saved, you will one day bow down and call him Lord. Because every knee is going to bow. And every tongue will confess. And then he says at the end of verse 31 and the first part of verse 32, he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, the message this morning is that he is alive. Amen. Let me give you this morning. I got so much preaching. Can I say this? And I'm going to wrap it up. The resurrection is everything. How many believe that? By the way, it proves his deity. The Bible said, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By the way, it also proves our justification. He was delivered for our sins and raised for our justification. It assures our resurrection. How many believe that? Amen. Hey, your loved ones are coming out of the grave one day.
Yes,
bears upon our faith. If Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. The resurrection bears on our forgiveness. You're still in your sins if he didn't come from the grave. Bears on our future. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. It means your loved ones ain't coming back. Bears on our program. Go into all world and preach the gospel. Bears upon our power that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Bears upon our practice. Why do you do baptism? Shows the death, burial, and resurrection. Why you do the Lord's Supper? We're doing it until he comes. That means he already came and he left. He's at the right hand of God and he's coming back again.
Amen.
And it bears upon our worship because on the first day of the week we come and worship and bring our gifts to him. And you know, that's a whole bunch of results, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I want you to know something. And I'm done. I got 5 minutes that I really want to be plain. Are you ready? It also has a fifth result. It brings everybody to a place they must respond one way or another. And in this passage, I'm preaching this morning on the three responses to the resurrection. Here they are. I'll be done. There was a response of sneering or mocking. In verse 32, look at it. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I ain't gonna lie to you. They've been people mock our church, mock this Bible, mock this preacher. I remember one time I was in doing a little street preaching before you done street preaching. All by myself down in the city of Hurricane. I just got on the street and started preaching. And I knew it was a corner where the drug addicts met and sold their drugs, and I could take you to the place. Right before you get to the middle school. They sold drugs there. I heard about it. So I thought I'd go preach. And there's about 15 of them standing there. And I saw them passing drugs. And I got up and I just started preaching. And I want to tell you what. They said, "Shut up, old man." I wasn't that old then. Said, "Shut up, you Bible thumper. Why don't you go back up to the church and leave it there?" And mocked me. They didn't mock me. They mocked the gospel.
Amen.
And they all left. Every one of them left. And I was getting ready to get in my car. And a boy, probably 13 years old, knocked on my window. Said, "Sir, I'm sorry, but there's something you said that I need you to say one more time." And I led the 13-year-old boy to Jesus right there before the middle school. Hey, my old people have mocked the gospel. They have, you're being mocked ain't a whole lot of anything. Speak to our fathers, our forefathers that were drowned in water, burned at the stake, been a little bit disgusted, been a little mocked. Doesn't really bother me at all. Secondly, then I see the response of shirking. Look at it. we will hear of thee again of this matter. Look at me. There's some shirkers in this room. This ain't the first time you heard the gospel. And some of you have heard it since you're kids. Some of you know all about it. Here's what you've been doing. Been procrastinating. Spurgeon told a story. I think I'll tell it to you. There was a ship called Central America out in the ocean. Sprung a leak. Started leaking. Threw up the distress signal. Blowed the horn. And another ship came by and said, come on aboard. And the captain said, just wait till morning. And then he said, again, come on board. At least let the passengers come. Just wait till morning. And one more time, the visiting captain said, come on board. And the last thing he heard when the ship was going down under, wait till morning. How long are you going to wait? I'll tell a personal story of a man I worked with whose name was Thomas. I worked with him every day before I came full-time ministry. Thomas was a good man. Taught me to do an end loader. I worked with him on the job. Witness to him all the time. Thomas was an off-duty policeman. He part-time a policeman in Wayne County. And Thomas, before he left on Friday, I just sat down. I said, Thomas, let me talk to you one more time. And I want to tell you what happened. Tears run down his face. He said, I believe everything you say, but I can't do it right yet. He left, drove down, got on duty that evening, got into a car race, chasing cars. Thomas hit the railroad tracks there close, flipped his car over 8 or 9 times, broke his neck, killed him. And he had tears in his eye. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix said, oh, he trembled. And so come a more convenient time. I say to you, today is the day of salvation. Right now. Let me finish. Boy, there's somebody ought to shout here. Third response. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. We had the sneering, the shirking, but thank God the souls being saved. I want you to know the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of God. You're a sinner, you're without hope, and unless you trust the gospel, you got a choice. You can mock it. I don't think you will because you're in church this morning. I doubt you're a mocker. But most likely, sometime in your life, if you're here not saved, you have shirked. You may have shirked when you was a boy and procrastinated. But right now, God said, I'm giving you another opportunity. And come and believe the gospel. Bow your head with me. No one looking around, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask a real simple question. If you die today, how many of you are 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Hold them up high and testify. God bless you. Now I want to ask this question. How many of you could not raise your hand, but before you die or before the Lord comes, you want your peace with God and you want to be saved and you want to go to heaven? and you want to know what it's like to find real repentance and forgiveness. Everyone that didn't raise your hand, if you really want to be saved today or someday, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. God bless that hand. Somebody else. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Preacher, I've been putting it off for years. Pray for me. Preacher, I know it's the best thing I can do. I'll see you, man. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. I've been putting it off for years. Somebody else, just slip your hand. See? Come on, come on, come on. I see it. Yes. Now I want to ask you, if you're, nobody's looking around. I don't want my altar workers looking around. If you just raise your hand when you look up at me, just look at me if you can. Did you want to be saved? You can today. Why don't you just sit by your seat right now? Let us come, you go, come up and let us take the Bible. Hey, you, let me take the Bible. Let us take the Bible and show you. Easter Sunday can be so great for you today. Slip up your hand. Come on, stand, congregation. Come on, stand, congregation, stand. You that raised your hand, you three, you ought to make your way up. But see, I'm not going to manipulate you and tell you some story. I'm just going to tell you he's alive and he'll save you. If you're under conviction, come right now. Father, touch those sinners in Jesus' name. Amen.